Welcome to the Happy Half Hour. It is going to be an epic show because the one and only Edwin Umana joins us. Is this the first time you've been on the show? That's such a
tragedy. Yes, it is. It is not the first time that I've worked on the show. It is the first time that I'm in front of the camera for this show.
We're so lucky to have you.
Thank you.
It's amazing. We're going to catch up. We're going to find out what you've been doing. We're going to find some behind the scenes factoids about TYT in this segment that we have begun starting the show off with in a time of coronavirus. Stay safe, stay sane.
Of course you did. Of course you would make that kind of graphic.
And Alex made that one. For everyone who might have been like, wait, who's Edwin? As soon as you started laughing, everyone was like, yep, now I know. Edwin is disembodied laughter, but also if you've watched long enough, you know exactly who Edwin is. Edwin's stage manager extraordinaire, as well as a photographer, if you haven't followed him on Instagram. But Edwin, how have you been holding up in a time of coronavirus?
I'm so tired of this. I'm so bored. I'm losing my mind. As I was telling you, behind the scenes that. So what I've been doing on the weekends, to stay sane, is I've been driving around LA. I've been driving around LA County and, just finding like interesting spots to, to just step out and, take pictures of. So I'll find like an interesting alleyway, just meet interesting people along the street. So I've been doing some street photography and stuff like that. So yeah, so that's what I've been doing on the weekends. That and drinking.
What are you drinking right now?
I'm living the high life, Mr. Brett. I'm living the high life.
Sir, kind sir, the high life. Dude.
That's a champagne of beers.
We've had like 120 days of this since the last like day we were in the studio. It's been about 120 days. Jeez. And I want to say on day 80, I opened the fridge and I looked behind like the like mustard. And I was like, is that a high life? And we were like making hot dogs because like, and I had two hot dogs a day. Like it's just hot dog day happens all the time because it's just easy and quick and like that is food. And I can buy like 3 packs and be okay. But I had that high life with like a chili dog situation and it was amazing.
The high life I think is a very underrated beer. The High Life is the perfect barbecue beer. Like this is America. A lot of people talk about Budweiser and Bud Light and all this kind of stuff. Nah, man, you gotta have the High Life. The High Life is so good and it's cheap. Like you get this for like 75 cents. It's not that bad. the only thing that's probably cheaper is probably PBR and Keystone Light.
But High Life's so good. It's like genuinely good. And it has like an attitude that I'm very willing to embrace, which is where the champagne of beers. And I love calling it the champagne of beers because I also like going to champagnes. Like I used to drink Frisonet, which was like a $9 bottle of champagne that I would buy as soon as I got out of like college. When I moved to San Francisco, so I was like 27. And I would go and I was like, I want to celebrate every night. And I would get like a bottle of champagne. And I refer to that as the champagne of beers of champagne. And I use a bottle of champagne for $9. So Edwin, you've been around TYT for quite some time. People might not know what you've had access to over the years and the things you've seen behind the scenes. So fill us in on that. Like, what have you seen over the years as Edwin of TYT?
All right. So being behind the scenes, I've managed to, I've seen anything and everything that, that you can think of. I've met. All the guests that come in. I have like the interactions with them beforehand, and. So as I was telling you prior to the show. So one thing that I've been doing for years is I've been taking a lot of pictures behind the scenes. both, you know, of the guests or, you know, just like regular shows, and also of different pilot shows that we've shot and have never come to fruition. So for example, we shot a pilot years ago called TYT 420. And as you can imagine, it was supposed to be a weed show. Yes, we shot one pilot. I do have pictures, but it never came to fruition. Apparently, and you were telling me you hadn't even heard of this show.
Like, that's one of those things that I because I've worked at a bunch of different places, and I remember there was one network I worked at where they tried a weed show. But when I hear TYT trying TYT 420, I'm like, but that makes total sense that would have happened at some point. Who hosted it? Like, what was the story of it?
It was supposed to be Wes Clark Jr. And yeah, we just had so the premise, if I'm remembering correctly, was to just bring in like a weed advocate every week. They smoke beforehand and just have like a casual conversation talking about legalizing weed, or you know, how has weed helped you and all this kind of stuff. As the conversation is going, you see the weed kicking in.
Awesome. So, yeah. I love that so much. We did one a high episode on like the first time, I think with John or something. And that's an unpredictable one to handle. But all the people that handle it well, I'm so wildly impressed with that they can like do a show like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so so there was TYT 420. There was also another show. I don't know if you might remember this too, but we shot a pilot episode for this show that we were gonna pitch called the most interesting news in the world. We're trying to get a sponsorship by Dos Equis. I guess this was the precursor to Happy Half Hour. And John was hosting it.
No way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. This show happened because I went to this is like inside TYT. I was supposed to host Pop Trigger and I got permission from, or no, one time my wife was like, surprise, we're going to Japan. And so we just left TYT in the hands of Amir and Pop Trigger. Or left Pop Trigger and someone else had to fill in. And Matt Atchity, who was the host of, or who was the head of programming at the time, got really, really mad at me for reasons I guess were founded. But I was like, here's a show. Let me just show you that I am working. And I pitched this show and he was like, okay, that works. That's my vague recollection of how the show worked. So it wasn't like John's show failed or any like sabotage. It was my own self-sabotage that gave rise to like, oh God, I gotta fix this problem that I'm in. And that's that. But yeah, that's amazing.
That's interesting.
God, TYT shows over the years. I know there was like this really mad dash to make shows happen when we went to like live linear with the Roku stuff. And I think the ones that you see now are the only ones left standing, but we tried really, really hard to make a lot of shows. Okay. What is something that you remember from TYT, from behind the scenes, besides those shows? That is there any other stories that you want to share with the audience about like behind the scenes TYT stuff over the years?
Yes. So working the stage for years. I was a person always micing up, you know, the guests and stuff, which usually were like politicians or, you know, celebrities and all this kind of stuff. I'll actually give you two stories. So one, the nicest person that I ever met, and I'm actually not a big fan of this person, like, yeah, for what he's known for, and it's Mark Hamill. Hamill. I'm not a fan of Star Wars and Luke Skywalker and all that kind of stuff. Okay, yeah, I know I'm gonna get like a lot of hate, you know, from the you know, people out there. So I'm sorry. But I remember when we were at Current TV, Mark Hamill came on the show. He actually came on a few times.
Yes.
And one time I was getting ready to leave. So I went to the little snack area, to grab something to go. So as I was hanging out there, Mark Hamill was also there. I saw him. I'm not one of those like I'm not one of those people like, yeah, to geek out and be like, oh my God, can I take your picture? And all this kind of stuff. Like, yeah, I'm not trying to do it, any of that. You know, he's a regular guy. He's, you know, just living his life. So I didn't say anything, you know, I just kind of saw him, you know, kind of, you know, just nodded my head to him. And then he was just looking at me, and then he just introduced himself to me. He was like, oh, hey, I'm Mark Hamill, you know, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I'm Edwin. Oh yeah, I work here at the Young Turks. And then we just struck up a conversation. He was hands down the most pleasant guy ever. And yep. Like, yeah, which I found to be so surprising how, like, yeah, how he approached me. Like, yeah, as if I was a celebrity, which, like, yeah, which is very interesting. Like, yeah, so Mark Hamill, so Mark Hamill was hands down like one of the coolest, like, yeah, people that we've ever had on. And also, the other person that I was very surprised to see, like, how pleasant they were was Bernie Sanders. So the reason I say that is because working at TYT for years, I've had to work with all these different politicians from both the left or right, you know, center, like whatever. And they all come off exactly how you expect them to. They're just greasy politicians, and just everything about them is calculated. The way that they walk, the way that they look, they're, you know, just everything about them, even the way that they like greet you, the way they shake your hand, the way they look at you, and everything is calculated. Mm-hmm. And it's so greasy, and I hate it. So I remember when when we got word the first time that Bernie Sanders was coming to the studio. Oh my God, you know, I was all excited. You know, everyone in the studio, we're all excited. And when he finally came into the studio, the entire time I was thinking, I'm like, oh my God, please don't be this greasy politician. Like, please, like, please don't be this greasy politician and have your handlers and all this. Oh God, it's gonna be the worst. Nope. He came up to me just nice, smiling, you know, just gave me a handshake. You know, we had a little small conversation, which was great. He was very pleasant. The person that people see on air or wherever, you know, just this pleasant guy, and oh yeah, he seemed like a nice little fun grandpa. That's exactly how he is behind the scenes, which blew me away. And also his wife, Jane. Jane, like unlike other politicians' wives, you know, that they're all dressed all nice in $2,000 suits and all this kind of stuff. No, with her, she seems like your regular next door neighbor, you know, going out shopping at your local grocery store, awesome. Going to Target, going to Walmart. She just seems like a nice, regular person. They are real people. They're not calculated. They're not bought. And that blew me away. And that made me so happy. So yeah. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And just to underscore, like, Edwin is just, I mean, everyone, if you don't know Edwin, like, just like the barometer for like decent humanity. Like, I just want to say, like, working with you is so fantastic. It's great to just be able to, like, you're such like a great person, and to hear those things from you just underscores what you said about other people, if that makes sense. Like, for me, I cross-reference like your responses against like my own instincts, and it's like great. So that's awesome, and I'm so happy. Like, that's all gold, and I love hearing those stories. I remember that day that Mark Hamill came into the studio, and I was just like, whatever. And God, he was amazing. I can double vouch for that. We have to take a break, unfortunately. When we come back, we're gonna play a game called Thanks, I Hate It. It's gonna be fantastic. Don't go away. Welcome back. So happy. Edwin makes me happier than most people in my life. This is the segment we kind of, I think we started last week, but it's already my favorite. It's Thanks I Hate It. And Thanks I Hate It is like it's a whole subreddit of things that are terrible that people send you. And it's Thanks I Hate It. And we're going to go through them and react. The first is in Tokyo, which is one of my favorite cities in the world. They have a bench that is in a Kentucky Fried Chicken that is supposed to make you feel close to Colonel Sanders. Unfortunately, it's closer than would ever want to get to Colonel Sanders. Thanks, I hate it. What were they thinking about? In what way are you to enjoy this bench?
Jesus, man.
What is the thought process like when you're sitting? I guess if you're sitting there, like Colonel Sanders' arms around you, and then you turn and you can see his face. Well, what are we thinking?
Also, how much time are you spending at KFC that you have to sit down on the bench?
I will personally, like there's no time you spend at KFC in Tokyo. You go and you sit and you order and you sit, but they do also like crazy things in an amazing way. But I love it.
I hate it.
He hates it. Thanks, I hate it. If you hate that, you're gonna hate this next video, which is something that I had seen throughout the week. This is what I love about Alex, by the way, is Alex and I both are very obviously on Reddit throughout the week seeing the same things. And if the things I think about are also the things that she pitches in the document, they're absolutely in the show. So this I have declared weird goat man thing. Thanks, I hate it.
What is wrong with you? Both of you. What the hell? What was that?
What? I feel like it's someone what? Made. I'm losing like, it. I can't look.
Is that so that's someone in a goat costume?
I don't know if it's a person or if it's like an animatronic machine that they made.
What? Wait, so where's that from? Is that also from Japan?
It's on YouTube, but I think it's in Hindi or like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm vaguely, and I feel terrible now, but like, as you can see from the sourcing, I'm pretty sure it's Hindi, but I don't know. I don't want to be that person who gets it wrong.
You know, that goat actually looks like the drawings from the chupacabra back in the 90s. Like when people used to draw the chupacabra and when they used to describe it, oh, how did it look like? Oh yeah, it looked like a goat. It looked like a goat and half man, half goat, and it looked like this and got big eyes and stuff like that. That's it. They found the chupacabra in India. Good for them.
I'm proud of that. I'm so very
case
proud.
Case closed. 20 plus years later. Good.
Yeah. That was something like I have the Reddit app and I can't tell you how many times it showed up and how many times I'm like, just move on, don't listen to it. And then finally I was like, oh, let's do it. Oh my God, I can't with the eyeballs. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan thing where it's like in an almost good movie that is shot spectacularly. All right, we're gonna move on to this next graphic. This is a Thanks I Hate It from the actual Thanks I Hate It Reddit. Subreddit. Okay, so here it's just a tweet from Miriam who said, so while being naked from the waist down, I made eye contact with my boyfriend and lifted my leg to fart. Healthy relationship. Instead, I pushed a little too hard and just pissed on the floor like an epic dog while making eye contact with this poor man. A little bit of the experience. And sorry to out you a little, Alex. Alex was like, when I read this, I was wheezing with how much I was laughing.
But you know what? If he didn't leave after that, they're just meant for each other. That's it. That is true love. If you're able to pee like a dog in front of your spouse or in front of your partner, you're good. You're good for life.
Like I have done it, and I have at my house. She's never, but I know if I have a big fart, it's gonna be a hit. It's gonna be a huge hit, and she does not like this about our relationship. But I know that I can make her crack if I And it's amazing. This next thinks I hate it is from Bill Gates. And it's from a TED talk that he gave back in the day that resurfaced on Reddit this week. And he has done a lot to try to eradicate malaria. I'm not sure he needed to do this thing, so take a look.
Even the million deaths a year caused by malaria greatly understate its impact. Over 200 million people at any one time are suffering from it. It means that you can't get the economies in these areas going because it holds things back so much. Now, malaria is, of course, transmitted by mosquitoes. I brought some here so you could experience this. We'll let those roam around the auditorium a little bit. There. There's no reason only poor people should have the experience. Those mosquitoes are not infected.
It's, yes, exactly. Okay. That's the correct answer. The correct answer is like, what are you doing? A, are there mosquitoes in there? If so, how did you get them? B, why did you bring them? Hopefully there was nothing in there. But, and so that's just Bill Gates, which I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, as opposed to people who think he's going to inject us with microchips because of COVID. But even that doesn't explain why everyone in the crowd was like, mosquitoes, yes.
Well, like that just sounds like a joke gone wrong. He's building it up and everything and saying like, oh, you know, like now, like yeah, malaria, it's not for poor people anymore. Here you go. It just sounds horrible. For people that are probably freaking out and thinking, oh my God, oh yeah, you let mosquitoes out. Well, there are two kind of mosquitoes, the male and the female. I believe it's the male mosquito that doesn't bite or suck blood out of humans.
Let's take a pause, for this is exactly Edwin. Edwin is like, here's a fact. No one knows but me.
That's right.
Like, yeah, it's the male mosquito. I'm like, I've never heard that in my life. And I like to think of myself as the guy who's like, you know what? But every time I think that, Edwin's like, no, I have another fact that you do not have. And it's amazing.
Yeah, so I believe it's the male mosquitoes who are who act more like fruit flies. I'm not 100%. I'm not 100% sure. I'm like 98% sure. but yeah.
Total.
So who knows? Like maybe he just released some male mosquitoes that aren't gonna do anything to the audience there and like I said, it's probably just a terrible joke. It's gross. He should have.
It's so weird. Even still, I don't think he's gonna inject us with anything. All right, the last thing I want to get to is the Outlaw Cigar Bar in Kansas City. Okay. Outlaw Cigar Bar in Kansas City is a bar that I think we all should be familiar with. And the Outlaw Cigar Bar is a bar in Kansas City that uploaded this video, and I want to say 2015, even though it looks like it was a lot older than that. Yeah, September 15th. Let's take a look at the Outlaw Cigar Bar.
Welcome to the Outlaw Cigar Company, Kansas City's biggest, baddest cigar store. Step on in if you think you can handle it. Outlaw Cigar is not a retail store. We're the ultimate man cave. 8,000 square feet of man heaven. Leather furniture, plasma TVs, self-serve kitchen and bar. Everything needed for you and your posse to hang out and chill. Now get your ass over.
Get your ass over here is what it says.
Get your ass over here and hang out with these other men. These other manly men. This man cave.
So stupid here in the video.
Now you're a man. A man.
This is a 5-minute video uploaded in 2015 with like freaking dual rotor helicopters. 2015, I can't tell you how long after 16:9 aspect ratios this 4:3 video was uploaded in.
Man, that video looks like it was shot back in 1997. It just looked terrible. So bad.
If you want to see more from the Outlaw Cigar Bar, we're going to show you more. Here is the extent to which they have decided they were going to go full on with their misogyny. Take a look.
Now, let's not forget about the girls. I'm talking about the Outlaw Party girls, the hottest dames you've ever laid your eyes on. These girls will make your head spin. But don't take your eyes off of them. They'll slit your throat and never blink an eye.
All right. So, Edwin, as a person who works in production, you also know that, like, I have this is like there's a guy who holds here's my $14 microphone. That's like, there's a guy who sits here and does his audio like this. He's like, they'll slit your throat and not even take a second look at it. Oh, here they are, they're bikinis. We don't care if they have feelings or not. It's me and my voiceover. We're gonna get it done. So good. I can't even with it. Thanks, I hate it.
Like, why did he force his voice like that though? I'm pretty sure they could have found a guy with a deep, manly voice. Instead, it sounds like they just found some rando and off the street with like a mediocre voice and told him, now force it. Now you're a man. I'm like, no, I hate it.
Thanks, I hate it. Thank you to the entire gamut of what we just showed in Thanks, I hate it. But we have some things that we're gonna thank people for existing in the next segment. So don't go away. We have more with Edwin after this. Hey everybody, welcome back. We have a little bit of time and we wanna use it for the best possible reason, which is to make people feel good about life in general. And so this is a segment we don't have like a intro for, but basically we want to thank people for existing. I just want to thank people for being who they are. I'm very grateful that Edwin is who he is. I'm grateful that I am who I am. And I'm grateful that the people of the Sidmar Lodge retirement home are who they are. Because there is a thing kind of going around the internet right now where people in this retirement home have taken their time to recreate album covers that they find inspirational. Here is the first one. This is Roma Cohen, who has recreated the Ziggy Stardust. It says Aladdin Sane, but I want to say that Ziggy Stardust. Am I weird about that? It is wildly fantastic. And very realistic. Good job, Roma.
That is great.
Yes. Love it. And then also Sheila Solomons has decided to take it upon herself to recreate this Elvis Presley album.
Oh, wow.
It's fantastically realistic.
That is really cool.
RC is the only initials we have for a woman who has recreated the Taylor Swift album, 1989. She was born in 1922. And potentially, wow, my favorite.
She's 98 years old. That's amazing.
And that kind of fast math is necessary, especially on TYT these days, because I'm terrible at that. Good for you. 98 years old, that's fantastic. Her jawline is strong. And then finally, this one, which is the most unexpected recreation, is the Blink-182.
That's really good. That is a look into her future.
It's really good, like all the way down to the arm tattoo. Edwin, when you are a retiree, what do you foresee yourself doing?
Oh, Jesus.
When you are at that level, what's going on with Edwin's life?
Man, at that point in my life, I want to be at the point where I just don't care about anything, where I can get away with doing anything and just blame it on being old. I don't know any better and stuff like that. You know, like, yeah, I just want to get to that point.
What would you do? Like right now, like what would you do if you could do literally anything?
Well, you know me. I would be traveling the world right now.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, yeah, just traveling everywhere and just finding new places to go, you know, to go eat, to go hang out, meeting new people, travel, you know, just traveling. That's it. That's what I would love to do.
Where do you want to go that you haven't gone yet?
Japan, definitely. Like one because you always talk about it, and two because there's. So I think I talked to you about this before, but there's, I guess like a city in Japan where some of the residents have like they've embraced Latino culture. Did I talk to you about that?
You did tell me about that, and that was fantastic. And that's exactly it.
Sounds so cool. Just like,
we appreciate this, and we will learn everything about it, and we will. I'm apologizing. Do it better than you.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it just seems so freaking cool. I would love to go over there and talk to those people, hang out with them, and like, yeah, just to get in their mindset. It's like, yeah, it just seems really, really cool because not only are they embracing Latino culture, it seems more like they're embracing the LA lifestyle, the LA Latino lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, very specific. It's very, and that's, and
as, yeah, exactly.
And I've been to Tokyo 100 times, but like, it is that. It is about obsessing over a very specific thing about it. And what you showed me was like, it was specifically like lowrider culture, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, lowrider culture. Like, yeah, lowrider culture. The like, yeah, you got the cholas. And, you know, like, yeah, they're rocking the, you know, the jerseys, the Raiders, the Dodgers, and all that kind of stuff. It's very LA centric. It's really cool. That I would love to go see. And just to find out, like, why are they into this? So yeah, good. I just find it to be interesting. Like, yeah, so that's where I would love to go. I'd love to go there and, you know, maybe Canada to get away from this mess that we got going on here.
Yeah, understood. Well, Edwin, thank you so much for joining us on show today. It's over but there's more. So members, people watching on Twitch, can see more. We're about to go into another story after this, so you can stay tuned. But in the meantime, for everyone just watching on TV right now, Edwin, thank you so much for joining us. And for everybody knows who you are. And TYT predating me, everyone predating me and you at TYT, obviously, thank you for being awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Britt. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Kind sir. I doff my hat to you. Stick around if you're watching on other platforms. Otherwise, see you next time on Happy Half Hour. Guys, very breaking news. A CEO has sided with Donald Trump. No one thought this was possible. Specifically the CEO of Goya. And not only has he sided with Donald Trump, but his daughter Ivanka Trump has posted this photo. If it's Goya, it has to be good. Si es Goya, tiene que ser bueno. Yo que sea bueno.
Babosa.
Este es sábado gigante. Goya y Ivanka Trump.
Oh, so
what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, God.
Yo, Goya, the Trump connection. Edwin, go.
First of all, real Latinos know that Goya, like, yeah, Goya, that's whatever. Real Latinos like Faraón and Nor. That's like, yeah, that's our go-to right there. Faraón and Nor. Forget Goya. Ugh.
What's the difference? Like, I've seen Goya. Like, I mean, for me personally, like, I am painfully like Jewish and WASPy at the, like, where those two things come together. It's like, oh, I can't tell if I want latkes or like tuna fish salad. Like that's most of my decisions. What is the difference?
Actually, I don't think I've ever gone out of my way to purchase a Goya product.
Why not? It looks perfectly legible. That's all I see is like a very bold and cool font. And look at how she's enticing. You don't think that Ivanka Trump, who unfortunately I'm attracted to, is enticing you in any way, shape or form? No?
What I want her to do with that can of black beans. So that can of black beans, it says it in Spanish, it says it in English and in Spanish. Black beans and frijoles negros. I want her and Trump to pronounce frijoles negros. Let's see how long, let's see if they can pronounce it without making it super freaking offensive.
and compounded by the fact that she also writes it in Spanish underneath. Like, I love that. Like, also say the sentence. I love it.
Because that's her tagline. That's her tagline. Si es Goya, tiene que ser bueno. I remember watching those commercials. Like, yeah, since I was a little kid. But like I said, I don't think I've ever gone out of my way to purchase a specific Goya product.
Good for you. And now
besides,
you're right about it. You're absolutely right about it.
Thanks. And also, did you see the tweet that Ted Cruz sent out about?
Goya?
So Ted Cruz sent out a tweet. Saying like, oh, you know, for 90 plus years, my grandparents ate Goya black beans twice a day and all this kind of stuff. And like, yeah, so of course he's supporting Goya, you know, which is fine. And like, no fault, you know, to his grandparents, like, yeah, for eating, you know, Goya beans. But at the same time, dude, you just outed your parent, like you just outed your grandparents for not knowing how to make beans. It's beans, water, fire. It's beans, water, fire. That's it. You just outed them. You jerk.
you know what Cubans call what they use those beans for? Moros.
Oh,
moros,
yeah,
moros. Cristianos. Yeah, yeah. Like they're Moors and Christians is black beans and white rice.
And it's weirdly
charged, especially with Ted Cruz, who's like a white Cuban for sure. Like there's a lot of internal Cuban politics in there, but that's amazing. I did not think that he would out his parents for like
getting
canned beans.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they value frijoles negros more than they like black people.
Yeah, right.
Oop.
You're right. They're willing to fight for black beans than they are for black people. That's amazing.
So ridiculous. The fact that in doing that, she's literally like breaking federal ethics laws by being an employee of the White House who then endorses a product, but it didn't hurt Kellyanne Conway when she did it for Ivanka's jewelry. It's not gonna hurt Ivanka when she does it for beans.
Well, Trump just did the same thing. Trump did the same thing, and like, yeah, in the Oval Office, in front of his desk, he had all these Goya products in front of him, and like, yeah, he's putting his thumbs up. Like, first of all, who does this? That's weird.
So gross.
Like, just everything about him is gross. It's weird. God, they're the worst.
They are the worst.
If this Goya boycott, goes through and Latinos stop buying it, and all the conservatives and all the white people, that are following Trump and they all decide to buy or to support Goya, guess what's gonna happen? Nothing. That company will still go bankrupt because they don't know how to season their food. So it's just a big waste of time. It's a big waste of money. So no, in the end, we still win. Faraón and Noor for the win.
Brought to you by the Happy Half Hour and Edwin. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks everybody for being here. That's all the time we have, and we'll see you next week on the Happy Half Hour.